Lord and Savior, open now your saving word. Let it burn like fire within us. Speak until our hearts are stirred. Hallelujah, Lord, we sing for the good news that you bring.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John chapter 15. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Good morning. Let us pray. Holy God, help us to trust in you, to hear your words, and to abide in you. In your name we pray, amen. This morning, the passages of Scripture lend themselves in order to really good and deep teaching. To start off with, we have the story of Acts of Philip evangelizing the Ethiopian eunuch. And there's several things here that are very interesting for us to think about. And thank you, by the way, for reading this morning, Brian. If you're not sure what a eunuch is, you might, on your own time, look it up. But I will say this. In ancient times, a eunuch would have been a person that in today's terms we would put in the category of LGBTQ, okay? Now, that category means something different today, and it has a lot to it. But basically, in broad outline, a eunuch would have been somebody who did not fit into a gender category. And there were several reasons for this. For the case of the Ethiopian eunuch, we know, and I will say his, just because it's simpler for me, we know what his job was, the Bible tells us. He was a treasurer. And not just any treasurer, he was the treasurer of an entire kingdom, the kingdom of Ethiopia. Okay, and that was a major kingdom in Africa. Now, because he was the treasurer and an official court to the Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, the fear of those in that kingdom would have been that such a man in charge of the flow of capital and so close to the queen would have too much power. That would have been the fear of other rulers. And they would have feared that this man's proximity to the queen could blossom into a romantic connection. That would have been the fear. And then he would have basically taken on the power of a king. So, in order to prevent that from happening in antiquity, not just in Ethiopia, but all throughout ancient empires, such a job, they would have required someone to be a eunuch as a way of maintaining control and power with the queen. Other jobs that a eunuch would have had in those days would have been to be in charge of a harem, the king's harem. So you get the idea. Now, this particular individual is interesting for other reasons as well. Why had he come to Jerusalem? Again, it tells us to worship. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. So, was he a Jew? Maybe. It's not exactly clear because he's reading Isaiah and he doesn't quite understand it. All right? What else do we know about this man? Was he rich or was he poor? Well, he's in charge of all of the money for an entire kingdom, but is any of it his? No. So this particular person, and we can even think about race, being from Ethiopia, sub-Saharan Africa, what was the color of his skin? Was it black or brown or white? When we think about all these things and we put them together, this is a very interesting individual. And it's an individual that I would say to us today is very relevant. Very relevant for the types of things that are in the news, for the types of things that churches and other religious groups are thinking about, and discerning how do we as a church faithfully minister to all of God's people. So this person doesn't fit neatly into one category or the other because of them being a eunuch, not clearly a man or a woman, not clearly black or white, not clearly Jew or Gentile, not clearly rich or poor. This is a person who doesn't fit in the box. And this person, the Holy Spirit of God, leads Philip to go and to evangelize. Philip tells this person the good news of Jesus Christ. And the good news of Jesus Christ is that God loves us unconditionally. It's not based on our gender, our race, our religion, our class. God loves us just the way we are. It is an inclusive, accepting love. That was the message that Philip shared with this man, this eunuch. He's reading scripture, Isaiah, talking about like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb is silent before its shearer. He does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. That's what the eunuch's reading, and he says, what does this mean? Who is it talking about? And Philip tells him, it's talking about Jesus. Jesus came from God. Jesus was perfect. Jesus did nothing wrong. He only loved people, and he suffered and died. And therefore, he can say to this eunuch, you, in the ways that you have suffered, in the ways that you have been excluded, in the ways that you have been denied justice, that is not of God. That is not of God. That is the brokenness of our world. But just as Jesus rose from the dead and our sins are forgiven, so too God loves you and accepts you unconditionally and washes away all your sins. You don't have to be this or that. You don't have to fit into this box or that box. God loves you and accepts you just the way you are, unconditionally. And when this man hears the good news, he wants to be baptized. He wants to be baptized. And he's baptized, and he becomes one with the church, one of our brothers and sisters. We could say one of our siblings, if you will. So, that leads us to our next reading. The second reading from John, 1 John chapter 3. Lots of important things in this reading. 1 John chapter 3, John says, we love because God first loved us. Because God includes us and accepts us no matter who we are, that gives us the power to love one another. God's grace comes first to us, and then we extend that grace to others. We love because God first loved us. And then there are challenging words as well. The challenging words say this in verse 20. Those who say, I love God and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister or sibling whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. So we who have faith in God's grace, we who have faith in God's inclusion, must show this love to one another, to our enemies, to our neighbors, to our friends, to ourselves. We are called to love, and that is our faith. That is our faith in the world. Which brings us to the gospel. The gospel this morning, Jesus says, I am the true vine. Whoever abides in me bears much fruit. Whoever doesn't abide in me doesn't bear fruit. And there's some words in here that have been misinterpreted. For example, when it says in verse 4, abide in me as I abide in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Sometimes those words have been misused to be exclusive once again, saying anyone who isn't a Christian, they're out. They don't get any of God's love. But that's not what Jesus means here. Jesus says that if you want my love, you must abide in me. Well, that means we have to stay connected to each other. Once again, if we love God, we must love our brother and our sister, no matter who they are, spiritual brothers and sisters. So, it's about being connected one to each other. We are all connected. God is the vine, we are the branches. We look like we're individuals, but we're not. We are connected to one vine. We are each a branch of one vine, our Lord and Savior Jesus, of God. And that is good news. It's good news that we are all connected and we all need each other. And as we love and care for each other and we are connected to each other, we can help each other. Like Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And I was talking about this last week. It doesn't mean that we can get whatever we ask for. It doesn't mean that I will get a Corvette mid-engine C8, although I came close the other day. Someone offered to give me a ride in theirs, which was pretty cool. But it means that Jesus will give us whatever he has. Jesus will give us his power to love. Jesus will give us his power to forgive. Jesus will give us what he has when we ask of it, when we abide one in another. And it also means this, like I said to the children, whether we're doing our best and we're bearing much fruit or whether perhaps we're going through a challenging time, either way, God will be pruning. God will prune away branches that bear no fruit, and that could be our own behaviors, and God will prune branches that do bear fruit. So just because we might face adversity, just because we might have a health issue or a financial issue or an emotional issue, of God's condemnation. They are not punishment for sin. They are the vine grower, trimming. It is God's grace. And we don't always understand why. And it is seldom easy. But we can trust that there is a good vine grower who works in all things. And no matter what we face, God will be with us. Salvation, our salvation is built into the universe. This earth is good. Nature is good. Animals and plants and chemistry and all peoples and all religions and even our enemies are good. You are good. That is what Philip said to the eunuch. He said, "You are good. You are made in the image of God." Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Psalm 22 says, "The poor shall eat and be satisfied." 1 John 3 says, "Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So let us love our neighbors, let us love our enemies, and let us love ourselves." Amen. Please stand as you're able, and we sing our hymn of the day, "Baptized in Water."
Baptized in water, sealed by the Spirit, cleansed by the blood of Christ our King, heirs of salvation, trusting his promise, faithfully now God's praise we sing. Baptized in water, sealed by the Spirit, dead in the tomb with Christ our King, one with his rising, free and forgiven, thankfully now God's praises we sing. Baptized in water, sealed by the Spirit, marked with the sign of Christ our King, born of the Spirit, we are God's children, joyfully now God's praises we sing.
With the whole church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Rejoicing that Jesus has risen and love has triumphed over fear, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need of good news. We pray for the church around the world, for all ministers, and for the mission of the gospel. Keep all the newly baptized and confirmed in your care. Cleanse our hearts with your word and help us abide in you always. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
For the well-being of the earth and all created things, for rivers and lakes, streams and estuaries, melting glaciers and polluted waters from local bodies of water may be named. Renew the face of the earth and shower us with your goodness. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
For the nations and all those in authority, for local, state, and national leaders, for elected representatives at every level, and for the international organizations, that justice and peace may reign. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
For all those in need, for any experiencing homelessness or unemployment, for those fleeing from oppression or seeking asylum, and for all who are ill or suffering. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
For this congregation, for the caring ministries of the faith community, for all who visit